All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where we delve into issues relating to mental health, and I take generally a more holistic approach to the work I do as well as my own life, which means dealing with body, mind, and spirit in a sense of achieving balance. Balance in how we pay attention to what's going on in our body, our mind, and heart, soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And the key to my approach is to keep conscious on all three levels and to find a sense of balance so there's more balance in our lives. The title, Tell the Truth Faster, really reinforces that. It's about not just speaking our truth out loud, but being willing to go sometimes into some very dark places where we need to get very honest about things that we've been avoiding dealing with, being in denial, as well as learning how to communicate more directly and more honestly and in a more timely fashion with those around us, so that we're not repressing things that we need to say, dealing with fear, spending a lot of energy, avoiding communications that could probably help lighten us up. So that's what this show is about each week. And there's a website, tellthetruthfaster.com. If you check that out, you'll see the variety, a wide variety of topics that we've done since last August. This is actually the 48th show since I've been on the air here. So, tonight, since this is June, and for a lot of people, they are aware that it's Gay Pride Month, so tonight's show is about gay pride. And my subtitle is A Protest and Call to Action or a Celebration. And my experience, those of you that listened to the show before know that I am a gay man, and I think back to my time in college, actually, when I think about this whole experience of gay pride, gay consciousness, other words, gay lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, however you want to term it, I think back to my time in college, which was 1968 to 72. And if you remember that far back or have read or heard about those times, we're talking about a period in history that there was a lot of change, a lot of upheaval, a lot of people dealing with issues that have had before then not been discussed, not been dealt with. People were beginning to say, this is who I am, and, you know, like it or not, this is who I am. It was women's rights, the women's movement, the Vietnam, a lot of politicizing on campuses. And in 1969, there was what was called the Stonewall Riots in New York City. And it was these riots, in fact, it was the summer of 69 when the police raided what was called the Stonewall Inn, a club in Greenwich Village, with a largely gay clientele. And because of that raid, and raids like that that had been happening for years, finally some people, and my understanding was a lot of them were drag queens at the time, said enough is enough. And they stood up and they fought back. And it was the first time I think the police in New York had ever experienced something like that. And there were a lot of reactions within the gay community back then, if you could call it a gay community, the way we think of it now. Many wanted to respond in what was considered the common way at the time, with solemn marches and the lighting of candles. But a more aggressive faction of gay people responded with demonstrations and riots demanding job protection and an end to police abuse and anti-gay laws. And that really helped push the gay rights campaign into a real national focus. So that happened in the summer of 69 in June, and that's why gay pride celebrations take place around this time of year. Of course, I think knowing the way most of the celebrations have turned into, I think if it was going on, if it had happened in the middle of winter, most of the gay community would have found a way to celebrate it in the spring or summer anyway. So that's the history of gay pride. And like I said, I think back to my own college days and, you know, dealing with my own sexuality, having the good fortune of being on a campus that was extremely liberal. It was then called Harper College, then turned into State University of New York in Binghamton, which is now called Binghamton University, and very liberal campus. In fact, after the Stonewall riots and the organization of student groups dealing with gay and lesbian issues, the gay student organization, the gay student union on that campus in 1970 and 71, was the second largest student organization on campus, second only to the student government. It was a very easy place to come out, a very affirmative place to come out. There were weekends of gay conscious groups and other campuses sending representatives to all sorts of workshops and dances and things like that, things that we would never have imagined before then. There were marches into Binghamton. There was a march on Albany I participated in, and in all honesty, I didn't see myself as a particularly political person, but there was just such a passion and such a fervor about finally being able to express oneself in a way and at a time when it just hadn't happened before. And all of these feelings that had been inside that I couldn't deal with and couldn't be open about, all of a sudden, I had the safety in numbers. And it was just an amazing experience. That's not to say, I mean, anybody that has dealt with things like this, it's not to say life was great being gay at that time, and it's not to say it is now. But it was the beginning of changes, beginning of improvements, beginning of people dealing with who they are as individuals as well as part of a group, identifying in ways that had never been able to do before then. And in ways today that a lot of the people who are celebrating gay pride don't realize how far things have come. And yet, if you think about it, as much as we've progressed, and I'm going to read this list to you, there's actually an article in Fab Magazine, which is a biweekly newspaper in Los Angeles, that gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered people may be fired from their jobs in 37 states, that brutality and violent crimes against members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community are common throughout the country and have no added penalties in federal law or in 23 states, that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people may not serve openly in the U.S. military or in the pulpits of most American churches, that life partners and other same-sex couples lack the legal rights of similarly situated married couples throughout the country and often are considered legal strangers to their own children, that school kids hear the word faggot and or other slurs on average many, many times per day, and that many other bad and unfair things continue to beset the what's called the GLBT community. That's the reality of what still is. That's a overwhelming and certainly upsetting, if you think about it, very upsetting situation and state. Certainly not as bad as it had been, but not as good as it should be. There is... It was an article in the Los Angeles Times called Gay Pride Confronts an Identity Crisis. And this was actually just 2 days ago on June 24th. And it was talking about the San Francisco event, which comes up this coming weekend. It's written by Scott Gold, who's a Times staff writer. And he writes, "For years, this city, meaning San Francisco, has staged one of the nation's largest gay pride celebrations, showcasing a community that is no fringe minority, but a cornerstone of San Francisco's power structure. That increasingly has meant participation by gay businessmen, corporations, and political conservatives, assigned to some of the community's ever-expanding assimilation into the mainstream. But a growing number of old-school, left-leaning gay activists are convinced that their movement is being sold to the highest corporate bidder, and that it has become so inclusive that it may rip its once radical roots. A lot of gay pride celebration has turned from pride, learning about pride and who we are, political statements to try and expand our own sense of consciousness and visibility and sense of well-being in the society and in our community, and to some people has turned more into a party atmosphere, another excuse to do drugs and to get outlandish. Just that seems to be where a lot of the gay pride controversies seem to be heading these days. There's a very different from city to city, whereas you know, I saw the news reports on last weekend about the gay pride parade here in Los Angeles on Sunday, and as usual, and one of the criticisms we usually have is even the media, when they're reporting on the gay pride parade, show the most outlandish floats or contingents in the parade, outlandish in their definition of the term, which usually means the overdressed drag queens and the leather bike lesbians and all this other stuff, stuff that will obviously have some sense of media power, rather than the groups of, you know, that walk in the parade, that gay business men and women and, you know, gay policemen and women, and, you know, there's not a lot of entertainment value in that, unfortunately, in the news. So a lot of the conflict at this point is, what is gay pride? Is there still a political effort being made to improve things through gay pride? Is it just a sense to party? And when we come back after this break, I'll be introducing a friend of mine and colleague, Ian Stolberg, who's also a clinical social worker and works with the Gay and Lesbian Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center here in the Mental Health Department. We'll be talking with Ian when we come back, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. God has directed the affairs of man throughout the centuries and continues to do so even at this very moment. The Crown is Faith Hour with Stephen Sanders is broadcast every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. and explains how the Crown is Faith helps persons learn to hear and obey that still small voice within. 81 years young, with nearly 40 years of daily moment-to-moment living through divine revelation, Stephen Sanders will speak to your heart and mind to bring absolute reality to your spiritual life. To order a personal copy of the Crown is Faith Hour, to learn more about the Crown is Faith, or to preview a copy of Mr. Sanders' book, To Him Who Conquers, please write The Crown is Faith, Post Office Box Drawer 13148, Phoenix, Arizona 85002-3148, or email crownisfaith@earthlink.net.
Disappointing grades and general lack of interest in education are frustrating to both student and parent. If you or someone you love is displaying an obvious lack of results in the learning process, don't get discouraged. Tune into the Treva Hunt Educational Hour. Treva is an adjunct professor at Northern Arizona University, a certified school psychologist, as well as an international speaker. Her diverse education and psychology background will give you the edge in providing the best education possible to yourself, friend, or family member. That's the Treva Hunt Education Hour on Sunday mornings at 7 only on Hot Talk AM 1100 KFNX.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Talk to our expert hosts. Call toll-free 877-900-5369. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And tonight's topic is Gay Pride, a protest and call to action or a celebration? And my guest tonight is somebody that actually I've known almost as long as I've been in L.A., I think, Ian. Goes back to our days at the hospitals with the AIDS units and stuff. And his name is Ian Stolberg. He's a clinical social worker and has worked with in the mental health components of HIV and AIDS work here going back to the mid-'80s. And is currently works at the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center in the Mental Health Department as the director of, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have your bio in front of me, of...
Education and Training and Operations.
Thank you. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thank you, Stuart.
Did I leave out anything? Is there anything else you want them to know about you?
That I'm a reformed actor.
Okay. I think that's true of a lot of us, but
especially in Los Angeles.
Yes, I know. You heard my introduction about the history of Gay Pride and my own experience, and it's hard to live in Los Angeles and not be caught up in the whirlwind of what Gay Pride celebrations are about. What's your own experience over the years in terms of your own connection to what Gay Pride is about and your observations about the event itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I came out in that I acknowledged this, that I was a gay man and that it was okay. I knew I was gay from the word go, but it wasn't until I was about 20, 1970, that I realized it was okay to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about your college career. I went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, so I also came out in a pretty liberal environment. Actually, I think the women's movement was dovetailing with the beginnings of the gay movement in the late 60s and early 70s. And
mm-hmm.
In fact, it seemed it was almost de rigueur for women in college dorm to be having affairs with each other at that time. So it was a relatively liberal community to come out in. I subsequently went to New York, that's the actor part, to become an actor. And I think the first Gay Pride parade I marched in was in New York, probably 1973, I would guess. And at that time, I think this was large part of a function of the time, that it was just several years after the Stonewall riots, and also that it was New York. The pride was the parade was essentially a political act on a large scale. It was a matter of showing our numbers and going public and not being ashamed of who we were and not hiding. So the march either went up Fifth Avenue or down Fifth Avenue, depending on the year. And I remember the object was for the gay people to march in the street. And in fact, the chance we would have was out of the buildings and into the streets. People who would wave at us from the windows, we would shout, come on out and join us, be part of the demonstration. And the people who were watching, for the most part, were non-gay people, as far as we knew.
Or gay people that were afraid to come out and march.
People that were afraid to acknowledge. But the idea was to get as many people to acknowledge who they were in a way that was not about being chained and letting the world know that we're here, you know, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, so to speak. So that was my experience for several years in New York. And then I moved to Los Angeles in 1980, and the first gay pride I attended in L.A., I was struck by how different the event was from my experience in New York. And part of that was that it was 1981 and not 1973. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Los Angeles and not New York. And given that L.A. is, you know, the entertainment capital of the country,
and we know how to produce things.
Yes, we do. And I was struck that the parade seemed to be more about entertainment than it was a political act. I mean, it was still obviously a political act just by the nature of its very existence, but it was less about everybody marching and more about gay people watching elements of the community parade down Santa Monica Boulevard. So I was struck that the whole tenor of the parade seemed to be different than my experience had been in New York. So I think that's continued. I think probably in most cities, though, not just Los Angeles, that the parade is much less of a political act than it was, and for good reason. To a large extent, I think it doesn't need to be that kind of in-your-face political act that was important in the early mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can definitely be a celebration, and it can be entertainment too. And I don't have any negative feelings about that. I think that's all part of the whole weekend.
And the growth and the transformation that's gone on within the community over the years.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty dramatic. I hadn't marched for a while, and then when I joined the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, and I do need to do a little disclaimer here, in that I am speaking solely as a private citizen,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the
not as a representative of the center.
Are mine? Yes, they don't represent. I'm not representing the LA Gay and Lesbian Center.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just my own perspective here.
Right.
But, when I joined the center on staff, I thought it was important to again, you know, march in the parade as part of the center's contingent. Center wanted to demonstrate our own numbers and our own visibility for the community, and I thought that was important. So for the last couple of years, I did march with the center's contingent in the parade. But last year in particular, I became so disenchanted with the event that I decided not to march this year. And you know, the issue that bothered me is an issue that's, I think, addressed in the article in the LA Times to some extent, and that is just the marketing nature of the event. It seemed to me that it was very, very little of the parade was about pride, and a lot of it was about marketing to the community. There were floats for various special liquors and vodkas. There was a float for, I think, Altoid mints. There were floats for whatever sort of gay-related commercial films might be coming out. And you know, while I think it's fine for commercial enterprises and corporations to be sponsors of the general gay pride festivals and celebrations, and if they want to buy a booth and hawk their wares at the festivals, I think that doesn't bother me either. I think, you know, festivals are a lot about people hawking their wares, whether it's safer sex or was that these commercial enterprises had a prominent place in the gay pride parade.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel that they belonged there. I thought, you know, the parade is, even if it's not the same political statement it was 25 years ago, it still should represent what the community is proudest of.
This is where I wanted to go after the, let me interrupt you after the break, because I think this speaks to, I think, the difference in attitude in generations in the gay community too now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Healing and Transformation with Dr. Eric presents useful information to address the challenges, adversities, and unresolved past issues in your life. Whether sharing information or answering your questions in a gentle, respectful manner, Dr. Eric provides guidance, direction, and solutions to the issues you are facing. A licensed psychologist, Dr. Alsterberg, shares the psychological principles, self-help tools, and healing technologies and metaphysical principles and truths to promote healing and transformation. Whether current challenges or unresolved hurts, traumas, or emotional or spiritual wounds, facing and dealing with these leads to healing at all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Ultimately, even adversity leads to healing and transformation. Life is meant to be joyful. Listen and learn how you too can deal with life's problems and challenges, overcome past hurts and wounds, and understand and apply basic truths to achieve joy in your life.
Echo Magazine keeps you up to date on gay and lesbian issues and events that should matter to everyone. This award-winning bi-weekly magazine provides news, features, and editorials that are written almost entirely by locally based professional journalists. Plus, their website, www.echomag.com, is updated daily with hot news and information. Distributed at over 150 newsstands, street boxes, bars, and businesses, Echo Magazine keeps Arizona's GLBT community connected with news, arts and entertainment, health, and more. Echo Magazine is also a proud sponsor and participant of the Joe Amico Radio Show on AM 1100 KFNX. Tune in Thursday evenings at 10 for the Echo Magazine Weekly News Update. For more information on how to get your free copy of Echo Magazine, call 602-266-0550 or go to their website at www.echomag.com. That's 602-266-0550 or visit echomag.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your home protects you from the elements. Now you can return the favor with Duration Exterior Coating from Sherwin-Williams. Unlike ordinary house paint, Duration protects in one coat. In fact, Duration is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Duration is available only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. For a free home inspection and a store near you, call 1-800-4-SHERWIN. You'll be glad you did. And so will your house.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast.
Okay, Phoenix, a great Wednesday evening. Ryan here with your KFNX weather forecast. Continuing to be dry for the rest of the next week. Lots of sunshine with occasional high clouds sweeping over the state. Mainly clear skies, becoming windy at times. Highs hitting around just above 110 degrees with overnight lows at 85. Currently around the state, 67 in Flagstaff, 73 in Prescott, 93 Tucson, and at 10:30, 98 degrees right here at KFNX.
This is the 50,000-watt powerhouse station, serving all of Arizona and beyond. Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And this is Stuart Altshuler, and my guest tonight is Ian Stuhlberg, clinical social worker and part of the mental health department at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. Tonight's topic is gay pride. And Ian, before the break, you started talking about your sense of disillusionment last year because of the corporate and marketing overwhelm of the L.A. Gay celebration here. I want to read your paragraph from that article from the L.A. Times, which kind of supports what you were saying. From the article, it says, "Gay Pride Confronts an Identity Crisis." And it talks about the Gay Shame Awards that are given out in the Bay Area up in San Francisco. And it says the winners included Mary Cheney, a lesbian who tirelessly campaigned for her father, now Vice President Dick Cheney, after he compiled what critics called a vicious anti-gay record as a congressman. Mary Cheney also worked as the official liaison between Coors and the gay community, even as the company's liquor profits were being funneled to conservative causes, such as a bitter campaign against same-sex marriages. So there are corporate sponsors that the organizers are willing to take money from and promote, even if the companies sometimes don't have partnership benefits or are actually funneling monies into very conservative causes that work against who we are, and yet, you know, they're giving them space and airtime, in a sense, to help them make money that's going really to work against the very movement of gay pride. So, you know, I certainly agree with and understand that disillusionment feeling, you know, also because I think the generational difference that we're finding. A lot of the people who attend, let's talk about the L.A. event. I mean, there's probably a few hundred thousand people that show up to watch the parade, as you say, that stand on the sideline, and not to mention probably another 10,000 in the parade, which goes on for 3 hours. But a lot of the younger people who don't have the recollections of the politicizing and the political activism that was the original purpose of gay marches see this as they see anything else from MTV or anything else, just a commercialism and a way of marketing them to help spend their money.
Yeah, well, it frankly hadn't occurred to me before this discussion that there is perhaps a generational difference In perspective there. I really can't say. That may be the case. It may be that those of us who have been around since the early years of the modern rights movement have an appreciation for where we've come and what it meant to be public and to march down Fifth Avenue for the first time, and perhaps younger gay people who've grown up with images of ourselves on TV and the media, and when it was more a mainstream issue, it's they may feel less important for the parade to have a political edge to it. I don't know. I take that back. I don't think so much about it being political. I don't really. It's not my concern. I just feel strongly that the parade should be about showcasing what the community is proud of.
Mm-hmm.
The people in our community that we're proud of, the people who are doing good things, who are doing good things for the community and for other LGBT folks, and the organizations that are enhancing and supporting and nurturing the community. That seems to me, you know, if you're going to have a gay pride march, that's what it should be about, and not about commercial ventures that they're wanting to market to us.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I don't care if they have booths at the festival, but the parade itself seems to me it should be more about showcasing the aspects of the community that we are proud, the most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that was my best. Plus the fact that so many of these folks were liquor related and God knows, the gay and lesbian community has a higher rate of alcoholism,
right,
which is endemic to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another aspect of it, which made me pretty uncomfortable. I'm a little uncomfortable with all the bars that have floats in the parade, but I acknowledge that the bars have held an important role in the community over the years. You know, witnessed the Stonewall Inn,
mm-hmm.
ground zero for the movement.
Plus, a lot of the bars are also, philanthropic in their support of the community and other organizations,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think, the bars, in addition to, the special vodka promotions that made me uncomfortable after a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really agree with the observation about the evidence and the marketing of alcohol and in the parade as well as at the festival itself, especially, in light of the increase, again, in crystal use and other things, too. I mean, it's like one seems to support the other in a lot of segments of our society, but I think in our community, the alcohol, the crystal use, and other things seem to be, put out there as something glamorous and something to be expected when people go out and when there's a celebration like this.
Yeah. Well, so far they aren't marketing crystal. It's not a crystal float. I hope there won't be.
Well, indirectly, though, I mean, I'm not trying to stretch this, but I think indirectly, the party atmosphere itself, knowing the problem that the gay community has right now, at least particularly the gay male community has right now, with the increase in crystal use and other drugs and stuff, and yet the tense. The dance tents and the partying goes on through, a good part of the night. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do the dancing and things like that, but I think there needs to be more of the recovery programs out there with booths and things like that. Not that they're not there, but I think it needs to be more prevalent to counteract the floats with all the alcohol and everything else. So we're going to take another quick break here, and we'll be back to talk about gay pride in a few minutes.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Echo Magazine keeps you up to date on gay and lesbian issues and events that should matter to everyone. This award-winning bi-weekly magazine provides news, features, and editorials that are written almost entirely by locally based professional journalists. Plus, their website, www.echomag.com, is updated daily with hot news and information. Distributed at over 150 newsstands, street boxes, bars, and businesses, Echo Magazine keeps Arizona's GLBT community connected with news, arts and entertainment, health, and more. Echo Magazine is also a proud sponsor and participant of the Joe Amico Radio Show on AM 1100 KFNX. Tune in Thursday evenings at 10 for the Echo Magazine Weekly News Update. For more information on how to get your free copy of Echo Magazine, call 602-266-0550 or go to their website at www.echomag.com. That's 602-266-0550 or visit echomag.com.
I'm Tim Paulson, co-host of Good Vibrations, a new thought-provoking hour on Hot Talk 1100 every Saturday afternoon at 3. On Good Vibrations, we'll interview today's top writers, bringing you inspired views on life, success, and relationships. Good Vibrations can help you to achieve your goals and perhaps feel a little lighter and happier along the way. Join us for Good Vibrations every Saturday afternoon at 3, right here on AM 1100 KFNX.
Did you know there are 62 religious communities worshiping actively around the world? Religious diversity is not welcomed with open arms in some parts of the world. That's why you should listen to Spirit Talk, hosted by Rabbi Dr. Robert Lennox, Thursday afternoons at 1 p.m. His goal is to educate listeners to have a greater understanding of religion and spirituality. Don't miss Spirit Talk, Thursdays at 1 p.m., only on Hot Talk AM 1100 KFNX.
Ask for directions.
Mom, my stomach. Oh. It feels yucky.
Honey, grab the Dramamine.
Where is it? Here in the bag?
I mean, it's a... Didn't you pack it?
Oh, no. I thought you packed it.
Oh, my stomach. Oh. Double yucky.
Don't let motion sickness spoil the trip. Dramamine original formula works faster than any other brand of motion sickness tablet. And it's even safe for kids as young as 2.
Feel better, sweetie?
No more yucky.
Put the brakes on motion sickness. Always pack Dramamine.
King of the road.
Use as directed.
You're listening to Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX. Tune into Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. And in the afternoons, the Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic is gay pride. A protest and call to action or a celebration. My guest tonight is Ian Stuhlberg with the L.A. Lesbian and Gay Center Mental Health Department. And I believe, Ryan, we have a caller.
Yeah.
And his name is Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, you there?
Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Jim. I thought that might be you. How you doing?
How'd you guess it was me?
Well.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Jim. This is Old Home Week.
Huh?
Yeah, he said it's Old Home Week. So what's on your mind, Jim?
Well, I'm calling because I agree with you for the most part, and I come from a different generation than both of you. So I don't recall the political activism in the parade. So, Ian, I really thank you for your feedback on that and hearing what you said, because I did not know that the parade was political in nature, actually. I've only seen the Los Angeles parade. Referencing what you guys were most recently talking about how it's the parade is like alcohol promotion, et cetera, et cetera. There are a couple things that I just want to point out that are happening that I particularly find that are really important in the parade. For instance, the L.A. Sheriff's Department, when these men and women are going down the street, to me, that really speaks volumes, because I think there's still a huge stigma in that particular community about being openly gay or lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that actually is inspiring to me. Referencing the stuff about the actual festival itself, in addition, Stuart, to what I heard you say about wanting more of recovery stuff and help stuff, I found a lot more social booths this year,
mm-hmm.
such as gay scuba, gay bowling. I didn't see bowling, actually, but I saw scuba and volleyball, et cetera.
Well, I'm actually glad to hear that, because to me that is part of gay pride and self-esteem and issues like that, to get involved with organizations like that. So go ahead.
Oh, that's really the heart of what my message is that to me, I mean, the parades have meant so many different things to me over the years. It's been ridiculous, but I just wanted to point out that there are booths at the festival that counteract the showmanship, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and all of the eye candy that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean. And those are the things that I looked for.
Great.
And I just wanted to put that out, that there are some people out there who do look for that.
Right. What's your impression? And I'm glad you started out by saying you don't have the memory of the earlier Pride and the political activism part of it, and I'm glad it got you thinking about that. But what is your observations and impressions of most of the people you know, or what you observe when you're at Gay Pride in terms of people's interest in things like that, or are they there more for the blitz and partying?
Well, this year I went down and I just watched the parade for a little bit, and then I left. excuse me, I'm getting over flu. What I saw a lot of straight couples, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of straight guys with maybe a gay guy, and they were like coaching them. Oh, this is about this. This is about that. And they would go, well, what's that?
You know? Mm-hmm.
And I saw that going on a number of places along the boulevard.
Right.
And I really thought that was kind of cool.
I do, because it means that people are coming in, and it's not just the gay community, and it's not just people who are there to harass, but there to learn and grow and
and connect.
Mm-hmm. It's about education, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, literally, this one woman was saying, no, this who's that? Oh, that's so-and-so, da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of my experience of this year,
right,
of the parade itself. And I was really happy to see that.
One of the things that I noticed a few years ago when I was actually in the parade was before it started, you know, West Hollywood has a tremendous Russian immigrant community, and this is like total culture shock for them because, I mean, you know, up until a few years ago, you could still be imprisoned for 7 years for being gay,
mm-hmm,
in Russia. And here are these people who grew up in a society that was so closed and so prejudiced about it and stuff, and here they are seeing 100,000 people lining up to watch this gay parade. And I was watching the looks on their faces more than I was watching anything else because it just was so astounding to me, having been to Russia so often to do the AIDS work, to see people in this culture watching something like this going on. So it certainly is opening up a lot of eyes, and there are certainly positive things to it.
Yeah, and I mean, even the co-founders of Christopher Street West were in the parade this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe it's just because I'm more conscious and I'm looking for them, mm-hmm, but I mean, I'm seeing these people, and they were driving by and I'm going, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that absolutely has to do with my generation. I don't know.
Right.
Because I never got politically active till the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I really nothing compared to what you guys have done.
Have you ever marched, Jim?
In the Gore, just for Gore, actually, against Bush, and that was in West Hollywood.
But in the Gay Pride Parade?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Maybe next year. Maybe we'll both march. Maybe I'll get over all the liquor floats.
One of the things, Ian, that I'm thinking is, I don't know how to put this, if we don't march, then the liquor floats are out there seen, mm-hmm, and then the LA Gay and Lesbian Center isn't seen for all of what it can do, or you're not seen for what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly valid. I just wish we could exclude those floats and make it more about the Gay and Lesbian Center and the other organizations in the community. That,
mm-hmm.
And I would love to see the community, like, I would love to see some of the booths have a float, too. But, I mean, I saw a couple, like Jim and John's World, floating down. They were doing nothing but brash promoting of themselves.
Right. Well, that's what Ian was saying, though, is a lot of it's just marketing.
Yeah, and that really turned me off to this. But then I saw the cops come by, and I was, mm-hmm, like, wow, that's pretty cool. Always liked the parents of gay and lesbians.
P-Flag,
because that has always moved me, even when I still had a lot of shame about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, wow. So I think it's really important that those of us who don't necessarily subscribe to going out and drinking and et cetera, we go ahead and get out and show that there are different cultures within the culture.
Great. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
And we'll be speaking soon. Okay, and we're going to take another break here and come back with Ian Stolberg. Thanks.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Aloha, cruise lovers. This is Dick Carpentier, host of Let's Go Cruising, the show for those of you who want to be in the know about cruising on the high seas. I'd like to offer a special invitation for you to visit my website at www.letsgocruisingusa.com. That's LetsGoCruisingUSA.com. You can listen in for recent shows or just send me an email to Dick, D-I-C-K, at LetsGoCruisingUSA.com. In any case, when you get a chance, why not check it out? www.letsgocruisingusa.com. That's LetsGoCruisingUSA.com. That's www.letsgocruisingusa.com.
When it's time for your next move, don't let just anyone handle your valuable possessions. Call the moving company you can trust, First Class Moving and Storage. First Class has been moving families for over 10 years. They're family-owned and have experience in local, national, and even international moves. First Class Moving also offers packing, storage, and their cost-effective supplies are sure to save you money. Need more proof? Just go to their website at firstclassmoving.com to check out the supplies price comparison window. With their strong family values, it's no wonder they have an excellent rating with the Better Business Bureau. So for all of your moving and storage needs, call First Class Moving and Storage at 602-696-0048. That number again, 602-696-0048.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
This is Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to our closing minutes of the show this week. And our topic's been gay pride, a protest and call to action, or a celebration. My guest tonight has been Ian Stolberg. And Ian, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure, actually, and Jim's call was very timely. I want to thank Jim for calling in. Any closing thoughts or remarks, Ian?
No, I appreciated the opportunity to talk about the event. Actually, I think through the discussion, I decided that I should probably continue to march, despite the liquor float.
It is
still about being seen and showing yourself to the world in an unashamed fashion. So I think that's still an integral part of what the parade and the celebration can be about. So maybe I'll do it again next year.
Great. Well, then the show's been transformative for you, and I'm glad to hear it, and hopefully it has been for some of the listeners tonight. In closing, there are a lot of different ways I could close this tonight. There's a book that came out, actually, it's one of the older ones that came out in 1981 called The Politics of Homosexuality by Toby Murata. And in the epilogue, it kind of talks to me about the importance of the consciousness of what gay pride is really about, even though he doesn't mention it in those terms. And he writes, in many ways, like the boisterous and well-publicized gay political activity of the early 1970s, the counterculture seems to have disappeared. Yet as counterculture values have been diffused among straights as well as gays, gay life has won acceptance, and the proliferation of gay subcultures is perhaps the most dramatic evidence today that the counterculture survives. By the end of the decade, members of the 60s and early 70s counterculture had learned much from their thinking and their experimenting and their struggle to be free. They had discovered that the countercultural life involved more than just experiencing the erotic or the mystical side of life. They had learned that they had to be responsible for themselves emotionally and financially if they were to allow others the opportunity to grow that they prized for themselves. They had seen in the reality of a tightened economy that they had to adapt and thrive as well as their more conventional peers if they were to prove that their humanistic new ways could stay the course. And they had recognized that they most effectively won converts to their ways of thinking and living when they showed that they could play the system's game as well as anyone, drawing on the strength they gained from enjoying their senses and their sexuality, from involving themselves genuinely and openly with others, from pondering life and its meaning, and from struggling to lead sensibly ethical lives. Indeed, many who remain true to the countercultural ideas, even as they abandon early countercultural styles, found that they enjoyed something of a competitive pride in succeeding by traditional standards while also expressing themselves in ways foreign to their less avant-garde contemporaries. A lot of this to me speaks to really knowing who you are in the world, ethically, morally, having a sense of integrity, striving to improve yourself, goals, setting goals and working towards those goals. And while to me it's important to be in the now, that doesn't mean blowing your brains out with crystal, alcohol, and, you know, partying. It means taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, taking care of your soul and spirit. And it's that soul and spirit that I'm talking about that really is about pride, whether it's gay or otherwise. And very much of what Ian was talking about tonight, what Jim talked about tonight, the importance in promoting a sense of what a community is and knowing that a community consists of many communities. The gay community is not of one mind. The gay community is not of one sensibility. The gay community consists of many communities. And we as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgenders need to be tolerant of the differences within our own community as we're expecting the society bigger than the gay community to be tolerant and accepting and embracing of who we are and our own diversity. So with those thoughts, I encourage all of you, gay, straight, bisexual, lesbian, transgender, to take care of yourself, to have pride in who you are and pride in what you do, and strive only for the greatest good in yourself and those around us. We need that more than ever now. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week. And this is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altschuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.